You're listening to Joe McGee.
And what it is, he said, it's my knowledge that's valuable. I still have knowledge that's valuable to somebody. And if you don't know more than somebody else, and you can't do more than somebody else, you don't get paid more than somebody else.
You are listening to Joe McGee. He'll be right back with more of today's message. But first, we'd like to tell you about this month's life-changing offer for your family. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. This set includes three audio messages that are thought-provoking and funny, a couple of prayer reminders, and 31 teaching cards to help you and your kids build a strong marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Your support goes to help grow the outreach of Joe McGee Ministries. Joe uses a laugh and learn approach that removes barriers and provides a refreshing point of view and a new hope for your marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe.
What are you going to do? Well, that job doesn't exist anymore. There was only one of those jobs and I had it. It's not there. So what do I do? Well, I'm going to have to learn how to do a new job. And the SAT people said, don't worry about it. It's normal that most Americans will change not jobs, but vocations five times in your life. You'll have to learn how to do a completely different job than you've ever done before. Acquire brand new skills, which means you've got to be teachable and you've got to be open. So one of the things we want to do for our child's success, for their future success, they've got to learn and be willing to learn new things and not get closed off. Here's what I like. Jewish fathers teach their sons that the most valuable thing they have is knowledge. I've got some friends of ours up in Port Chester, and I love what they teach their kids. They say, your knowledge is portable. You can take it with you wherever you go. Somebody can take your land. Somebody can take your country and your possessions. But we can always go somewhere else and get it back. That is as long as we have knowledge. That's why teaching kids is so valuable, so critical. Because, you know, I was flying down when we were coming down to do the taping. I remember sitting next to a petroleum engineer on an airplane. He was getting ready to launch out into a new venture. Here he is, 55 years of age. He's had a great job for 27 years. You know, he went to Texas A&M, got a good education as a petroleum engineer. He said, but, you know, me and three of my friends think we can do some of this ourselves. We'd like to start our own company. And said, I am sinking my entire life savings into this. He said, I'm not going blindly. I know how to do this. I've done it for others. I've helped others. And I'm wanting to step out and do this myself. And here's what he said. He said, you know, my best friend's worried about me. He said, what if you lose everything? What if you lose it all? Everything you spent 27 years savings for, what if you lose it? He said, yeah, the thing is, if I do lose it, I don't lose the knowledge I have. He said, I can go back out and start consulting again and make the same amount of money I'm making doing this if I lose it. He said, but I don't think I'm going to lose it. And what it is, he said, it's my knowledge that's valuable. I still have knowledge that's valuable to somebody. You know, you only get paid for two things on this planet, what you know and what you do. And if you don't know more than somebody else and you can't do more than somebody else, you don't get paid more than somebody else. Then that's what it says in Matthew 25:14, again about the parable of the talents, where one guy was given five, one, two, and one, one. This isn't communism. Everybody get the same amount. They were given different amounts according to their individual ability to handle it. See, God gives different ability. And what it is, if I can increase my ability, God gives me that option. I can go learn a new skill. I can learn to do something. I remember my daughters. I've got several daughters, and one of the things I've taught them, I said, you got to learn to run a 10 key. You know what a 10 key is? A calculator. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0. You learn to run a calculator. And you learn it like you learn typing. You know, there are many classes that are free, extension classes. The Department of Agriculture offers classes in many states where you can go sign up and take a six-week course for free at night, or you can take it on a Saturday and learn to run a 10-key. So why is that important? Do you know if you run a 10-key, you can get a job at almost any bank in the world running a 10-key on Saturday and get paid double what you'd make if you're working for a hamburger place, and you get to sit down in air conditioning with nice clothes and you meet other people that have money. And I remember she just got a job with a great bank in a trust department. And one of the things they told her, the reason she was hired was not her great GPA, her degree from an excellent college in accounting. One of the reasons they hired her was her incredible skill in running a 10 key. It was not her 4-year college degree that got her that job. It was her 6-week free course in a 10 key that impressed them. And it's amazing. If you're willing to learn something new and increase your ability, it makes you more valuable. People will pay you for that skill. So you'll always be learning new stuff. You know, be willing to expand your borders, get outside your box, learn something new. Don't just live in a rut all the time. And if you want your kids to live a full life, if the people were right, and I do believe they were, you know, that wrote the college entrance test. Certainly, here we are way past 2000. We understand that. It's true. There are a lot of job changes. Everybody knows family members that's had to change vocations and change jobs and downsize and roll over. But each time, if you're open, you're willing, you can get an opportunity to learn a brand new skill and make yourself even more valuable than you were at the place you were at. So it's a great thing to do. Here's the next thing. Teach your children to ask questions. Girls do much better at this than boys, but you need to teach your children to ask questions. Ask, seek, and knock. Look at this. Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8 says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened." You got to be curious in life. Don't go through life like a tree stump with blinders on. Don't be like the little monkeys. Don't see, don't hear, you know, don't speak. Man, you need to get involved. People love people who are hungry for knowledge. They really do. They respect them. James 4, verse 2 says, "You have not because you ask not." You have not because you ask not. You know, one of my daughters, I've got 3 kids that are grown out of the house. I still have 3 at home. One of them asked me one time, said, "Dad, I really love you and appreciate what you've done for me, but it always seems that, you know, my sister always got more in life than we did. Why? Is that just us, or is there a reason?" And I got to thinking about it. So, well, you know, it may be true. If I put a pencil to it, they may have. And she said, "Well, is there a reason?" I said, "Well, yeah, probably there is. This is because they ask. They got more because they asked more." You know, it's no different than the disciples and Jesus. You know, you got the multitude following Jesus, then you have the 12, then you have Peter, James, and John, then you have John. The closer you got to God, the thinner it got. The closer you moved into the Lord, the more elbow and running room there was. God says this: "You draw close to me, I'll draw close to you." You can have as much of God and as much of life as you want if you're hungry for it. But you've got to be teaching. You've got to be willing to ask these. James 1, verse 5 says this: "If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and upbraids not." In other words, God will not only give it to us, he won't yell at us when we ask for it. How much? As much as we want. Matthew 18, verse 4, great passage, said, "Whoever then humbles himself as a child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, what do you know about a child? Humble. Not embarrassed to ask hard questions, goofy questions, silly questions. Not embarrassed at all. Ask a bazillion questions. "Why?" "Why does that happen, Daddy?" "Well, why? Well, why, Dad? Well, why? Why does this do this? Why?" And they're always asking. You know, you almost have to grow up and become an adult where you stop asking questions like, "Well, I know the way." You know, that's a tough thing for men. That's why men don't ask for directions. It's an honor thing. Men gravitate where they get honor. And if they think they're stupid and they don't get honor, they don't like going there. So they'll drive out a tank of gas and brag about it. You know, "Took me 3 hours. Bless God, I finally found it." You know, but a wife, she doesn't mind. She'll stop and ask 50 people directions. Make 3 new friends in the process, you know. So guys really struggle with this probably more than girls. You need to acquire good study skills. One of the things every young person needs to learn, if you're going to grow in the love of learning, what holds people back is they don't think they can. So you've got to teach skills. It'd be like teaching somebody to be a carpenter, but you never show them how to use a hammer, saw, or T-square. If I'm going to be a great carpenter, I need to know how to use the tools. If I'm going to be a great student, there are tools for learning. How to read a book, how to take notes, how to take a test, how to file information away. There's skills that you have to be taught. And if you never taught them, I've watched grown kids in Bible class, boys who won't open their Bible because they're not sure where Jeremiah is. They're not sure where to find 3 John. They're not sure, they know where Hebrews is. So rather than being embarrassed, flipping through the pages, or just flat going to the index and looking it up, they'll just sit there and look arrogant. "I'm not going to open my Bible. I'm just going to listen to the preacher. You know, I don't need to open my Bible." The reason you're not opening it, because you know you can't find it, and you don't want to look stupid. Therefore, you will stay ignorant and stupid the rest of your life. You've got to be willing to learn something new. Acquire good study skills. Look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says this: "Study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." In other words, you got to study, guys. You got to teach your kids, mom and dad. Study is something you'll be doing the rest of your life. In your vocations, in your job, if you're not willing to learn, you're going to be stuck financially, stuck socially. Finish what you've started. Finish what you've started. God said in Hebrews 12, verse 2, that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. We have a tendency sometimes to not finish. We don't finish a project. We don't finish our homework. We don't finish cleaning up our room. We don't finish the dishes. We don't finish mowing the grass. We don't finish school. We don't finish a relationship. We don't finish a job. And that's a bad habit to get into, not finishing. So as parents, I tell people, you're going to teach your kids to love learning. Teach them to finish whatever they sign up for. You sign up for Little League. You sign up for piano recital. You sign up to mow grass for summer. You finish. Now, this summer's over. This season's over. You can choose to do something different next time. But we're going to swear to our own hurt this time. We're going to learn that. We're going to learn a valuable lesson. Finish what you start. Don't be one who gets halfway through. Again, it's the parable of the guy. Remember the guy who built the tower? What man gets ready to build a tower that doesn't first sit down and count the cost to see if he's got enough money to finish it, lest people make fun of him? You get made fun of when you don't finish things. Let's learn to finish and finish strong. I like this, Philippians 1, verse 6.
Today, Joe brings you a message that will have you rolling with laughter and thinking about how God designed us to be relational from the very beginning of life. Start today to fight and overcome the tough challenges of marriage. But before we get into today's message, I want to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe with today's biblical message.
Ask, seek, and knock. Look at this. Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8 says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. You got to be curious in life. Don't go through life like a tree stump with blinders on. Don't be like the little monkeys. Don't see, don't hear, you know, don't speak. Man, you need to get involved. People love people who are hungry for knowledge. They really do. They respect them. James 4, verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. You know, one of my daughters, I've got 3 kids that are grown out of the house. I still have 3 at home. One of them asked me one time, said, Dad, I really love you and appreciate what you've done for me. But it always seems that, you know, my sister always got more in life than we did. Why, is that just us or is there a reason? And I got to thinking about it. So what, you know, it may be true. If I put a pencil to it, they may have. And she said, well, is there a reason? I said, well, yeah, probably there is. This is because they ask. They got more because they asked more. You know, it's no different than the disciples and Jesus. You know, you got the multitude following Jesus, then you have the 12, then you have Peter, James, and John, then you have John. The closer you got to God, the thinner it got. The closer you moved into the Lord, the more elbow and running room there was. God says this, you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. You can have as much of God and as much of life as you want if you're hungry for it. But you've got to be teaching. You've got to be willing to ask these. James 1 verse 5 says this, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and upbraids not. In other words, God will not only give it to us, he won't yell at us when we ask for it. How much? As much as we want. Matthew 18 verse 4, great passage, said, whoever then humbles himself as a child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, what do you know about a child? Humble. Not embarrassed to ask hard questions, goofy questions, silly questions. Not embarrassed at all. Ask a bazillion questions. Why? Because why does that happen, Daddy? Well, why? Well, why, Dad? Well, why? Why does this do this? Why? And they're always asking. You know, you almost have to grow up and become an adult where you stop asking questions like, well, I know the way. You know, that's a tough thing for men. That's why men don't ask for directions. It's an honor thing. Men gravitate where they get honor. And if they think they're stupid and they don't get honor, they don't like going there. So they'll drive out a tank of gas and brag about it. You know, took me 3 hours. Bless God, I finally found it. You know, but a wife, she doesn't mind. She'll stop and ask 50 people directions. Make 3 new friends in the process, you know. So guys really struggle with this probably more than girls. Need to acquire good study skills. One of the things every young person needs to learn, if you're going to grow in the love of learning, what holds people back is they don't think they can. So you got to teach skills. It'd be like teaching somebody to be a carpenter, but you never show them how to use a hammer, saw, or T-square. If I'm going to be a great carpenter, I need to know how to use the tools. If I'm going to be a great student, there are tools for learning. How to read a book, how to take notes, how to take a test, how to file information away. There's skills that you have to be taught. And if you never taught them, I've watched grown kids in Bible class, boys who won't open their Bible because they're not sure where Jeremiah is. They're not sure where to find 3 John. They're not sure where, they know where Hebrews is. So, and rather than being embarrassed flipping through the pages or just flat going to the index and looking it up, they'll just sit there and look arrogant. I'm not going to open my Bible. I'm just going to listen to the preacher. You know, I don't need to open my Bible. The reason you're not opening it, because you know you can't find it and you don't want to look stupid. Therefore, you will stay ignorant and stupid the rest of your life. You've got to be willing to learn something new. Acquire good study skills. Look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says this. Study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Now, what you got to study, guys, you got to teach your kids, mom and dad. Study is something you'll be doing the rest of your life. In your vocations, in your job, if you're not willing to learn, you're going to be stuck financially, stuck socially. Finish what you've started. Finish what you've started. God said in Hebrews 12, verse 2, that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We have a tendency sometimes to not finish. We don't finish a project. We don't finish our homework. We don't finish cleaning up our room. We don't finish the dishes. We don't finish mowing the grass. We don't finish school. We don't finish a relationship. We don't finish a job. And that's a bad habit to get into, not finishing. So as parents, I tell people, you're going to teach your kids to love learning. Teach them to finish whatever they sign up for. You sign up for Little League. You sign up for piano recital. You sign up to mow grass for summer. You finish. Now, this summer's over. This season's over. You can choose to do something different next time. But we're going to swear to our own hurt this time. We're going to learn that. We're going to learn a valuable lesson. Finish what you start. Don't be one who gets halfway through. Again, it's the parable of the guy. Remember the guy who built the tower? What man gets ready to build a tower? That doesn't first sit down and count the cost to see if he's got enough money to finish it, lest people make fun of him. You get made fun of when you don't finish things. Let's learn to finish and finish strong. I like this, Philippians 1, verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will finish it until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, the man who invented the Bic pen, anybody got a Bic ballpoint pen out there? You got a Bic ballpoint pen? The man who invented the ballpoint pen is not the man who marketed it. The inventor had trouble with the ink blotting, and it was a man from France who actually patented it after designing an ink that didn't blot. The Bic pen, Bic is short for Bijouet, which is a Frenchman. The Frenchman that who got the patent on the Bic pen did not invent it. Another man started it, but he could never finish it because he never could figure out how to keep the ink from blotting. So he couldn't finish it, so he never got the patent. Somebody else came along and finished what he started. Same thing with Jonas Salk, polio vaccine. He wasn't the first man to start that. What he did, he was the first man to finish. There were many men trying to get that contract for that vaccine, working on it. But he was the guy that finished it. He put in all the extra hours. It's not the guy that starts that you remember. It's the guy that finishes. And we want to finish strong. God always finishes strong. So we want to learn how to finish. The man who started the Panama Canal is not the man that got credit for it. He died. Another man finished it and got credit. When you read who built the Panama Canal, it was not the guy who had the idea who started because he didn't finish. You never remember the guy that starts something. You remember the guy that finishes something. So in teaching our kids the love of learning, you're going to start this process and let's learn to finish something. Let's learn to complete something. Acts chapter 20, verse 24 says this, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear unto myself," Paul wrote, "in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." 2 Timothy 4, 7 says this, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." Enduring to the end is what's important. We're going to teach about a love of learning. You start to read your textbook, finish your textbook. How many kids in school end up getting a D instead of a B or an A because you realize they never read the chapter? They read the first 2 pages in class, but they were supposed to go home and complete it. The kid who starts football, but he never finishes. The kid who starts piano, but never finishes. And the rest of his life, he said, I could have played the piano, but I dropped out of lessons. We don't want that. We want to create a love of learning. You know, you're going to have to learn some things that may not be your favorite subject. That's a neat thing. Eventually, you're going to have to learn something that may not be your favorite thing. And so you need to expose your kids to things, you know, reading, music, different stuff like that. And it really makes a huge difference in their life. Look at this, Ephesians 6:18. Talking about enduring to the end. Ephesians 6:18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for the saints. He said, you're going to pray for other Christians, the saints? Persevere. Don't start praying for somebody and drop off. Don't pray for somebody to be saved and then you quit and they're not getting saved. Don't quit halfway through. Don't stop two steps short of your miracle. Learn how to finish. Hebrews 12:7. I like this. Said, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is it who is not chastened? Or what son is it who is not corrected? And I like this one. James 5:11. Behold, we count those happy who endure. Man, doesn't it feel good to finish something? Doesn't it feel good to finish that science fair project? Feel good to finish that book report? Man, I know as a parent, many a morning, 4 or 5 in the morning, we finally finish something. Oh, you're tired and you're sleeping, your eyes are so dry and you're hungry and you just, oh man, you think, oh, I can sleep for 12 hours, but you can't. You can only sleep one because you've got to get up and go to school, you got to go to college, got to go to class. But man, don't you feel incredibly good when you finish something? It is so good to finish. Finishing is a one. Jesus, I am the author and the finisher of your faith. It says, behold, we count those happy who endure. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. You know, Job did not pull up short with God. Man, his friends tried to get him to curse God and die. His friends tried to get him to abandon God. His wife tried to get him to curse God and die. Isn't that incredible? All the cheerleaders from hell come out sometimes when you're trying to finish something. Oh, you've done enough. Oh, you've done more than somebody else has done. You put in a great effort. You know, your heart was right. No, I want to finish. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to get halfway to the cross. Thank God Jesus finished what he came to do. We want to teach our children that. So the love of learning. And parents are watching us. They're watching, do you love to read a book? Mom and Dad, do you like to learn something new? Are you boxed in? Do you like to go experience new things and take your kids new places and go see things, museums and historical places and whatever, and learn how things work, who did what and how they overcame? You read biographies. You know, they've got some incredible books in bookstores, just short biographies to read your kids about people. And I try to tell my kids, anybody who ever made it in life fell on their face 1,000 times getting there. You ask any millionaire, they say 87% of all millionaires. If you ask them, how did you get to be a millionaire? They say, we found a need and we met it. You have this great burning bush vision. I want my children to love learning. And so I pray that every day. Father, I want my children to be just like Daniel, found 10 times wiser, 10 times better than those about them. Teach my child the love of learning. Teach the children watching and listening today, Father. Teach us, help us as moms and dads to create an incredible lifetime love of learning that our children might grow in your grace and in your knowledge and be blessed and prosper in Jesus' name.
Joe's going to be back in just a moment with a tool to help you build a God-based, stronger marriage. But before we get to today's final thought and take home, I wanted to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you fight for your own family, to discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe.
You know, Proverbs 22:6 says to train up a child in the way they should go, so that when they're old, they won't depart from it. And we're in the tail end here of the 8 things no kid should leave home without. And the session today is about character. And so what is character? Well, character is what you do when nobody's looking. It's easy to look nice when somebody's watching. It's easy to work hard when the boss is looking. You know, treating the kids nice,
if your spouse is looking at you, but basically, care is what you do when nobody's looking. And here's what I tell people. God's looking all the time. We ought to do what's right just because it's right to do what's right. And so I tell husbands and women in our marriage conferences, I said, listen, guys, there can be no secrets. Character, you know, when you get married, you're like butt naked in the middle of the interstate. You should have no secrets. You start hiding things from one another, hell's coming, I'll promise you. There's nothing that's ever happened that the devil won't bring up or God won't bring. You've got to learn how to deal with things up front, truthfully. What are you trying to do? I don't accuse, I'm just trying to be honest. Did you do that? Yeah, that was a dumb thing to do. I'm going to repent over that. We're not going to do that anymore. Or we're going to fix this. I'm trying to fix something, not accuse something. So the character issue in marriage is real, real big. You know, if you come home late, well, I say, where you been? Well, I was working late. Well, no, actually, I stopped off with some of the guys and we played 9 holes of golf. Like, and you think she won't find out? Sure she's going to find out. The minute you lie, tell a husband, you lie to your wife, you might as well just shoot one toe off. Because they're going to remember that 20 years from now. Something's going to come up and do, you lied 20 years ago and you're lying now. You can't lie. You can't deceive. Character is about being who you are, being honest and upfront, being truthful. So I tell them in my relationship, man, if I know it, I want my wife to know it. I'm just real honest about that. And so I remember one time I was doing a business meeting. I was in Atlanta at the airport and it's hot in July. And I'm sitting, places packed. Man, I just want to go home and see my wife. All of a sudden, this incredibly large-breasted, braless woman comes walking down the middle of the terminal I'm at. Well, I'm just sitting there, and you know, I'm not standing, but here she comes. You can't miss her. And every man on the other side of the aisle, all their heads are falling. Like, a lady need to go home and get dressed. You shouldn't be out here half naked. Before God, I had no bad thoughts about it. So I'm sitting there, and 3 days later, I'm home. I've been home, saw my wife. I'm mowing the grass. I'm outside mowing the grass, just having a good day mowing the grass. All of a sudden, somebody kicked the video screen on. And I saw that same lady come walking by, that large, boom, boom, boom. But I thought, uh-oh, I looked too long. I shut the mower off, I run in the kitchen, Lisa's cooking egg rolls. The kids are all in there, I'm not hiding. Hey, baby, I need to tell you something. You know, when I was in Atlanta 3 days ago, this incredibly large-breasted, braless woman come walking by, and evidently I looked too long, because I just saw it again, I'm mowing grass. I want to repent, I didn't mean to look, evidently I looked too long. I love you, you're the one I'm satisfied with. And I'm really trying to be serious. She said, shut up, Joe, go mow the grass. And she didn't think much about it, but I did, because character's critical. If God knows it, then you need to deal with it. So when dealing with relationships, especially your spouse, there are no hidden secrets. You need to be open with one another. That way the devil has no place in you. It'll work really good.
Call now 1-800-482-5862. That's 1-800-482-5862. You can also write Joe at P.O. Box 691-498, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74169. We're excited to hear about all the great things God is going to do in your life as you apply these principles. Join us when Joe continues this Laugh and Learn series on how you need the right tools to build a successful marriage. It's never too late to change your marriage.